All right. Well, thank you for coming to my session on expectations. And I'll tell you, the last few weeks, come on in, guys. That's okay. Have a handout. I've been thinking on this a lot and praying and just trusting the Lord to give me thoughts in my mind as He would see fit. So hopefully something I say would be a blessing to you today. And if not, we'll just trust the Bible to not return void at some point. So anyway, my name is Tammy. And my husband and I have been married for 26 years. We have three kids. Our oldest is Hillary Schmidt. She's married to the youth pastor here. And we have a 22-year-old who's engaged to be married. He's getting married in June. So his wife is a German citizen. She lives, or his soon-to-be wife, she lives in Germany. So we are having fun planning a wedding in two different countries, really. So that's been fun. And then we have a 19-year-old, and his name is Clark, and he's in his first year of college, and he's home this year, going to a university that's actually down the street from our house. So we're really enjoying the fact that we got him for one more year. So, and then the most unexpected blessing came our way almost 3 years ago, and these are our twin grandkids, Chad and Charlie. So we're loving being close to them. And we moved here 3.5 years ago. We were at a great church in California, and the youth pastor happened to be Carrie Schmidt, and we just spent 20 years working with him in the youth department, and when he moved out here, we just felt inclined to follow him and be a part of a great church on the East Coast. I was born and raised in California in the desert of California, so when we moved here, I had seen snow fall from the sky 2 times ever in my life. So it's been a change, but I love it. I love it. We make lots of good food and have snow days, and there's teachers in the room, and we love that. Yes. So yes. So anyway, I just want to say, whether you're married, whether you are divorced, whether you've lost your spouse, whatever stage you find yourself in at this time, we all have expectations that haven't been met or turned out the way we thought, or we've had expectations and they've just, the way the Lord's orchestrated our lives have far exceeded what we expected. And I think today we're kind of focusing on maybe disappointments and expectations, and they can be little, they can be big. It really just depends on how we're going to appropriate God's words to our lives. But in the next few minutes, we're going to talk about three areas in life that can be affected by unmet expectations. And we're going to consider the life of Mary, Jesus' mom, who's just an ordinary lady, just like us. And hopefully we can learn a few things about managing these expectations. And I'm going to grab my Bible, because that would help when we go to read some of those scriptures on Mary. Right. Well, let's pray really quick and we get started. Dear Jesus, I thank you for this time together as ladies. Lord, I pray that you just help us to grab a nugget or two out of something that's said in this session. Help us to focus on it and allow it to change us and make us better servants of you. And we pray this in your name. Amen. So lately, this topic's on my mind all the time. And I was coming home the other day. I work in the school here, and I was coming home, and I literally thought, I expect that there are not any dishes in my sink. I have 2 older boys living at home. You'd think they'd be capable of helping me not to leave dishes around. And I was walking up the steps to my house, and the Lord grabbed a hold of my heart. And it was so funny, because all I can think about is this session. And I expected those dishes to be done, and I was going to barge in there. And if they weren't going to be done, I already knew what I was going to say. You can imagine, I'm sure, as moms, you've said it. And the Lord grabbed a hold of my heart and stopped me dead in my tracks, and I realized that if they weren't going to be done, it really did not matter what I said to them. What really mattered was how I conducted myself when that expectation was not met. And you know what? When I walked in, they weren't done. So basically, the incident caused me to stop and think about how I handle and react each day to just the mundane situations that don't turn out to my satisfaction. And you know what I realized? I can't control the outcome of the little things or the big things, but I can control my reaction to them. And I'm sure in your daily routine, just like mine, it involves many scenarios that we hope turn out one way, but they actually turn out the opposite. And right now we're going to talk about how we handle that. So think about your daily routine. If you work, your day starts out just getting ready, getting food in order for your family or for yourself, getting your chores done at home, cooking your meals. If you're a mom, you're getting the kids ready for school, basically caring for the people in your lives. All of these situations have the potential to go exactly like we want or expect, or they can go haywire. And have you ever stopped to think about just how the Lord uses our challenges to teach us something? How often do you cry out to the Lord in a given day when everything just hums along perfectly? How about in the course of a week when your schedule just floats along, just flawlessly, everything works out perfectly? Do you draw close to the Lord as often as you do maybe when you just have one setback after another? I think when we're in a comfort zone and everything just happens exactly as we expect, we really forget to depend wholly on the Lord. And I really don't prefer adversity, but I will say it's in these times that I depend on Him most. And I'm going to look up a verse right now. I really wanted to just spend some time considering Mary. And I think her life probably didn't turn out like she completely expected it to. But I'm going to turn to Luke 2 and in verse 41. And we're just going to read just, I think you can remember, you guys will remember these stories. Anyone who's read the Bible for any amount of time knows these stories. But think with me as we read it just about what Mary is thinking and expecting on this day, okay? This is when she and her family, they're traveling back to Jerusalem for the Passover. And it says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it had come to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I sought thee, sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake to him." Think about it, ladies. This is Mary. She's a mom, just like we are. And have you ever been in the mall or the grocery store and turned your back for a quick second and your child was gone? Think about it. This was 3 days she was looking for her child. And I'm sure that when she was making this travel with her family and she just was enjoying the time, she never expected to turn around and realize she did not have her child with her. And I just think about when she finally found him in the temple. And he says to her, you know, he's completely focused on doing the work of his heavenly father. She's completely focused and expecting to be taking care of her son. He was only 12. She was a mom just like us, and she had experienced the greatest panic of her life. Her son was missing. Even though the day did not go as she expected, she allowed the Lord to work in her heart. And just maybe that's what helped her to calm her herself. I think about how she said, "We were sorrowing." And he said, "Do you not realize I'm about my father's business?" Her expectation was to protect her child, but his expectation was to do the work of the Heavenly Father. And I think you just always have to consider the fact that your expectation may not go as you see fit, but the Lord's working ahead of you. And he needed to be there. Jesus needed to be in that temple teaching. And I'm sure she would not have wanted to have him defer from the Heavenly Father's plan for his life. And I think of another story of Mary, the story of the wedding celebration, and the wine ran out. And she came to him and she said to Jesus, "There isn't any more wine." I don't know if you guys have planned a wedding yet, but we plan my daughter's wedding, and there are a lot of details and plans that go into something like that. And so think about it. They're at a wedding celebration and the wine runs out. And she goes to him to tell him this. And I can just imagine like how her heart dropped and the fact that there wasn't any more. And what a major thing. If you're serving food at a wedding or something and the food runs out, it doesn't make you feel very successful as an event planner, I can tell you. But she, I love how she said to her servants, and I'm not going to read it now for the sake of time, but she went to him and said, the wine is out. And she's told her servants to do whatever he was going to bid them to do. She knew, she had a heart of expectation, that whatever he would do to fix that problem, it would definitely fix the problem. And I just think that's amazing that she didn't expect to be in an event and have all of the refreshment run out. But she did expect the Lord to fix the problem, and he did. And it was a minor issue, but she expected him to fix it, and she ordered the servants to do as he said, knowing he would. And I think that's amazing. She was only concerned about the details of the day, the food and the drink, and he was concerned about proving himself real in her lives. And I just think that's pretty amazing. So, because the Lord's concerned about every event in our lives, just like that. So what I want to do right now is I just want to take a second and ask you, how do you handle the day-to-day events when they don't go as planned? This morning I stopped at the school here just to print my notes, and I thought, I'll just take a minute and run through my notes. I expected to have probably about 20 or 30 minutes just to kind of run through my notes, and there's no school today, so it should have been really quiet there. But in the end, the fire marshal stopped in. So I pretty much had an obligation to spend my 30 minutes talking to the fire marshal. So I thought, it's just comical when your mind is focused on a topic and the Lord has his way in it. But anyway, so three-step process, if you look in your handout, just some things. Ladies, you know these things if you've spent any time in the Word, but we'll just refresh our minds and kind of regroup. But three steps to handling unmet expectations in my routine. And I thought of three things. And the first thing I thought was, ladies, we have to control our tongues. And most often, when things don't go as we expect, our reaction is just instantly to be frustrated. And I know when I'm frustrated, I say things I regret. And I'm so glad that day the dishes weren't done. I didn't walk in and immediately say the things I wanted to say. But you know what I did? I said to my boys, guys, I could really use your help in the future, and if you see dishes, help me out and do them if it crosses your mind. That was far more effective than what I had originally planned to say. So, even if your words are true in any degree, if you're blurting them out in anger or frustration, it's just going to cancel out any good, and that was a prime example of that. It was more effective for me to just ask them to help. So Proverbs 31:26 describes the true Proverbs 31 woman as one who openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Doesn't mean we're going to have to say things that need to be said and that aren't easy to be said, but we can do it with the right spirit, and that's going to make the difference. Don't let your unmet expectation cause you to say biting, sharp words. It's okay, and it's often necessary to address a situation with words, but do it in a way that glorifies the Lord. Number two, reevaluate. Is it a situation or a person that has left you disappointed? Take a moment to identify exactly what the issue is. Allow the Holy Spirit to give you discernment on what to do next. If we ask Him, He's going to give it to us. Maybe you don't do anything but pray. Maybe you make an appointment with the person who didn't meet your expectation. We work in a school, and these teachers who labor for these kids, they're human too. And sometimes parents don't feel that their expectations are met, or the students don't. You know the best way those situations are resolved? When the parent makes an appointment and comes in and talks to that teacher. That is the most biblical way to handle a situation, if it involves a person. Okay, so maybe you have a good friend who disappoints you in some way one day. Why don't you go to that person and have an honest conversation with her? That would be the best way to come to a solution and to alleviate your frustration, okay? It'll help you adjust your expectation too. And number three, set a new expectation. I think it's okay to have expectations for a day and a routine. In a sense, that's what gives us direction. it's not okay to set unrealistic goals with regard to our schedules, people, circumstances. Be willing to be flexible, when things don't turn out the way you plan. Strive to do things decently and in order, but don't come unraveled if they don't go as planned, because that's going to happen. If you have toddlers, if you have older parents you're caring for, there's just lots of things that are going to come into your daily routine that are going to take you by surprise. So it's not going to be like you expected. Ask the Lord for guidance in your daily routine and trust Him to work in your circumstances. And He will, ladies. And a lot of these daily routines are dependent on our relationships, and we're going to take just a minute. We're going to talk about relationships, and I'm thinking about relationships in your life that mean the most to us, the ones that affect us the most. Our relationships with our parents, with our kids, spiritual leaders, our in-laws, maybe your boss. I've worked in the school for 4 years now. Well, I'm in my fourth year, and I remember when I first started the administrator, I helped the administrator and work in the office, and he would call me into his office, and I would just go in expecting we were just having a conversation, and the first few months, he'd say to me, did you want to bring a pen and write some of this stuff down? And I just remember thinking, he was expecting me to write it down and actually do something with what he was going to be talking about. I thought we were just talking, hanging out with that. Anyway, I just think it's funny. His expectation was far different than mine, what he expected me to do. But I have no doubt we've all experienced some sort of disappointment of an unmet expectation in a relationship. If you're married, you have to say you've had an unmet expectation, because husbands, they're people just like us, and they're going to disappoint us sometimes. And if you're single, maybe by now you expected to be married. If you're a single parent, maybe by now you expected someone to come along and help with your children. But people are going to disappoint us in these, when they're so intimately involved with us, we're going to experience some disappointment, and sometimes it's inevitable. And maybe these kind of disappointments are even more hurtful and harmful than any other. And let me ask you, has an unmet expectation with a person left you bitter? Have you become bitter with the Lord because someone has disappointed you? And even something deeper to ponder is, maybe you're the one that didn't meet someone's expectation, and you are the source of sadness or bitterness. And, you know, it goes both ways. But think about Joseph for a second. And how do you think he felt when he found out Mary was pregnant? Before he knew the full story, I'm sure he was initially very shocked. He expected to marry a pure woman. And at the time, Joseph and Mary were betrothed. That time is a one-year period where they take their vows, but they don't live together, and they weren't consummating their marriage. But in all essence, they were married. So he basically finds out that the woman he planned to spend the rest of his life with was pregnant. In that one-year betrothal period, that was specifically meant to kind of make sure that the woman wasn't pregnant and that she had led a pure life. And here he finds out, that she was indeed pregnant. And the Bible calls Joseph a just man, and I would imagine a man of that caliber expects that his wife would be pure. And I know he was shocked when he found out she was pregnant, and I'm sure he was disappointed. And the Bible talks about he considered divorcing her, and thankfully he was willing to listen to the angel and accept the Lord's message to him. And, he went on to be the earthly father of Jesus. It's pretty amazing to see how that turned out. And this unmet expectation, what he assumed his wife was no longer pure, actually turned out to be the greatest story in history, And I don't think we can comprehend it all. Had he acted in anger or lashed out at her, like, how would that have changed the story of the Bible? And I know there are some hurts in this room. When one of my boys was in eighth grade, he attended a Christian school, And I picked him up from school one day, and somehow, I have three kids, but somehow I ended up in the car alone with him. And he got in the car and he was upset, and I said to him, "What's wrong?" And he went on to start to tell me that he got in trouble in the lunchroom. Eighth grade boys, it's gonna happen, you know. Their job was, everyone had a job, and that week his job was to get the wet dish towel and wipe the tables off after lunch. And if you have boys, you know, anything turns into a game, a roughhousing experience. Anyway, he walked by one of his buddies with the wet towel, and he slapped him in the back with it. And a teacher saw him do this. And it was a teacher, he had been in the Marine Corps prior, and my husband was a Marine prior, and I think he thought, you know, we were about strong discipline, and we're about discipline. But anyway, all the kids left the cafeteria, and this teacher kept my son and all the eighth grade boys. And he had my son stand against the wall and put his arms on the wall. This is in a Christian school. And he had instructed all the boys to come behind him and to slap him or punch him or whatever they could do, as hard as they could do, in his back to repay him for treating his friend that way. So he went on to tell us this, and I pulled my car over immediately, and I called my husband at work. And I, of course, it's just the absolute worst. It's just the absolute worst. And just by chance, Dana's husband was a youth pastor, and we had been friends for years. And we were meeting after school for some reason, and I went right into her house, and I told her about it, and we lifted up my son's shirt. And, ladies, it was devastating. And anyway, long story short, the administration was great. Our pastor was great. Pastor Carrie was a youth pastor. They worked with us and resolved the situation in the absolute right way. And the teacher was dismissed, and I appreciate that. But let me tell you, I sent my son to that school that day expecting those authorities in his life to protect him, to educate him, to discipline him properly, and that expectation was not met. And there are lots of ways that we could have reacted to that, and I'm thankful that the Bible worked in our hearts at the time, and we handled that unmet expectation wisely. And I just want to give you four steps that when someone disappoints you in a relationship, how you could possibly deal with it. And let me say about that situation, these things, that was a very serious situation. And if, you know, an expectation of safety and physical safety, that's our God-given right to protect our children and so on. So these things don't necessarily have anything to do with that, because that was something that required a different sort of action. But I say all that to say I understand when people hurt you, it is devastating, and it is a process of the Lord healing you. But anyway, for more, you know, less deep ways to maybe handle hurts, let's first of all be realistic in our expectations. Remember that your husband, your children, your mom, they're people too, and they're going to fall short. I'm human. I fall short. You know, that administrator, he expects me to bring a pen and a notebook and take notes what he says, and sometimes I disappoint him. And it can be as small as that. It can be as big as, you know, you fill in the blank. But be realistic. Don't hold people to a higher expectation than, first of all, you would hold yourself or that the Lord would hold you to. Okay, we're all sinners saved by grace. Be slow to, number two, be slow to wrath and reactions. James 1:19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Have you heard the statement, hurting people hurt people? Mm-hmm. If you're hurt by someone, fight the urge to lash out. Take time to search out the full story. Maybe there's a reason you just don't know about. I had a pastor's wife years ago who talked about her mom just mentioning through the years how hard it was for her to hug and be affectionate towards her children. And that lady went on to explain that when her mom was young, Her parents never said, "I loved you," never hugged her. And so when she became a mother, that was really hard for her. And it doesn't, you can't use an excuse for reasons why you lash out or, you know, hurt someone else. But you might want to get the full story on why did this person disappoint you? What happened? The reasons will not be an excuse, but they will help you to understand. And being angry at someone for not fulfilling your expectations is prideful in a sense. Because if you're exalting yourself in a way that says, "I deserve you to treat me this way. I deserve this consideration." You're exalting yourself in a way that maybe you need to take a second glance at. Again, we're sinners saved by grace. We really don't deserve anything. But in God's goodness, He gives us moms who love us. He gives us husbands to love us. He gives us children who one day grow up and become your friends. And just be careful. Check your pride. So, number three, communicate openly about your disappointment. Go to the Lord and ask Him to give you wisdom and to guide your words. Ladies, don't assume the person knows what you're upset about. Sometimes husbands don't know what they did to let you down. They really will have no idea. They'll know you're upset, but they won't know. You need to speak openly and honestly, not with malice. And remember, the person who has disappointed you is not your enemy. The devil is. And I remember one time my husband, years ago, he made a really large purchase. And I expected that, like in any other purchase before, we would talk about it and come to a decision together. And he made a purchase and we did not talk about it before. You know, we could have really had a knockdown, drag out discussion about that. And that was going to affect us for, you know, many years. But we didn't. I communicated with him in a very respectful way. He didn't become angry or defensive. He did acknowledge his mistake. And the communication, I remember it clearly, staying calm and just talking calmly is what diffused the situation. And by him responding calmly and through great communication, we resolved the situation and it really didn't become an issue after that. So let me ask you, if it's a spiritual leader who disappoints you, you know, be fair, be realistic. In the realm of spiritual leaders, there are people too. But don't go around discussing it with every church member you meet. Go to him and give him the opportunity to make it right. Communicate directly to him first. Be proactive. Communication can be the start to healing in any situation. And number four, don't hold past unmet expectations against people. Again, let me give you an example. If you've been at a church and your pastor's disappointed you to a point that's led you to another church, don't walk into the next church with a chip on your shoulder, holding that past disappointment against your new pastor. How can he address that? How can he fix that in your life? Now, I know pastors can come alongside and offer counseling and help you to recover from that, but don't have a chip on your shoulder against that pastor. And, you know, if your father disappointed you as a child growing up, don't hold that against your husband now. He can't fix that. He can love you. He can try to, you know, offer support in a way that maybe you need because you missed that before. But don't hold it against him. You know, after that incident with my son and the teacher, we could have taught him to expect bad things from all authorities in his life. We could have taught him to be suspicious, to be on guard, looking for when the next adult was going to abuse their power with him. But you know what we did? We took this example and said one person made a wrong decision, a wrong choice. And look at the other authorities in your life, the pastor of our church, the youth pastor, the administrator. They all came alongside of us and handled it correctly. And ladies, how you handle situations, keep in mind too, the communication you're using, how you handle it, let me just say, your kids are watching you. And if you are experiencing a situation and bringing up all your baggage into this next situation and expecting positive solutions, it's just not going to happen. We have to let go of the past. I love what Kelly Rasmussen said. Let go of the past and don't bring those things into the next situation. And just don't hold your unmet expectations. Don't hold the new person in your life accountable for those things that they can't do anything about. And you know, today our son's just fine. He knew we were fighting for him. He knew the proper authorities were fighting for him. We live in a sin-sick world. And he's just fine. You can recover from disappointments that are so deep if you appropriate God's word correctly. You can. And finally, I want to talk about unmet expectations in life circumstances. And I think if what I mean by that is kind of reconciling my expectations of reality with God's reality. And what do I mean by life circumstances? And I guess it would be your life story. Are you where you expected to be at this stage in life? If you're single, did you think you'd be married by now? If you're married, did you expect to have children, but you don't? Has your marriage ended in divorce? Are you a single mom? Is your career where you thought it would be? This is your life story. Did you expect to be a stay-at-home mom, but financial need has you still working? Are you older and you expected your retirement to look different, or are you still working and you're of retirement age? There's so many different realities we could mention. And my mom, I'll just mention what I expected to be different. My mom was 57 years old and she went to sleep one night and didn't wake up. This was before my daughter graduated high school. So I can't even think, it's probably like 9 years ago or so, maybe 10 years ago. But anyway, so I was a very young mom, and that was devastating. I never expected that my mom wouldn't be alongside of us when my kids graduated, when they went to college, when they had babies. You know, I expected my mom to be a part of the next generation, great-grandchildren. But you know what my mom expected? My mom expected a home in heaven one day. She was a saved lady, and sure enough, she got what she expected, and I surely would wish that. My point in saying that is God's reality is far better than ours. Her reality in heaven is so much better than ours, than I could have expected. So you know, the bottom line is, does my agenda match God's agenda for my life? What does my agenda look like versus his? And if am I writing that story, or is an all-knowing God writing it? And recently our pastor talked about the differences between the life story we're capable of writing and the life story God would love to give us. And this is what he said when he was talking to us about that. He said, our version is going to be disappointing, but God's version will be fulfilling. Our version will be limited to our earthly perspective. His version will include a supernatural perspective. Ours will be temporal, meaning the new job, the new car, the new degree, but his will be eternal. And of course, if we actually submit to his version, his ways of accomplishing the outcome will be drastically different than ours. And when our circumstances don't turn out like we plan, he commands us to not lose confidence in him, but he does promise to give us confidence in his power and presence. So practically speaking, ladies, how, when our expectations for our life story doesn't end up the way that we expect, how can we handle it? And so I'm going to give you three quick thoughts on that. First of all, count your blessings. And I think we often focus so much on what we don't have that we actually forget to give thanks for what we do have. And, you know, if you're married and your husband just doesn't turn out to be what you thought when you were daydreaming of marriage and all that would include. How about if you stop and think about what he does do? Is he a provider? Is he working hard to provide? Maybe it's not, the income isn't what you expected, but is he out there every day working? Be thankful for that. If you're a single mom and you have friends or your mom or extended family members who are helping you, be thankful for that. Get in a good church and let a youth pastor, let some children's workers come alongside you and fill gaps there. And be thankful for that. The Lord's given us churches, good churches, to fill the gaps in those situations. If you're retired and you don't feel like your financial needs are being met in the way that you expected, give that to the Lord. I think of some retired ladies in our church. Charlene Wright, who plans this event so well with our pastor's wife every year, she's the volunteer librarian at our school, and she comes once a week faithfully, and she does all that a librarian does. Her kids are down south somewhere, and I'm sure she expected to be a grandma to them, but she can't be on a daily basis. So she's a grandma to elementary students in our school once a week, and it's great. And I didn't know this lady was going to be in this session, but she's here. But anyway, if you know Mrs. Colby at all, it's not a secret that her sweet, sweet daughter went to Bible college, got married, was a teacher herself, and she had an unexpected health trial that took her home to the Lord early. And Mrs. Colby here, she's an example of turning an unmet expectation that was so deeply hurtful into something positive. She's a preschool teacher at our school, and while she does have a grandson now, God was good, and her daughter's husband is remarried and has a little boy, and that little boy is her grandson, and God was good. I'm sure she didn't expect that at the time of her daughter's death, and she's a preschool teacher. And a couple years ago, she reached out to a single mom in our church, and I remember on one of a holiday, it was Thanksgiving or Christmas, she had that single mom over, and her little girl, and they made Christmas cookies. You know, her expectation of, you know, having grandkids and enjoying that with her daughter didn't turn out the way that she probably expected, but she turned it around, and I'm sure she has sad days. I know, because on the day of my mom's death, she comforts me, and when I see her and it's the anniversary of her daughter's homegoing, I can appreciate that too. But anyway, my point is, if you're in your retirement age and things didn't turn out the way you planned, or any age, turn it around, concentrate on the positive, look for people you could maybe make a difference in their lives. Number two, don't compare yourself and your life to others. You know, ladies, comparison is the thief of joy. If you set out to see how your life measures up to those around you, it's inevitable. You're going to be disappointed. The Lord has given and gifted us all differently according to his will and purpose. And I think we should be wise in planning, for our futures with money and time and resources. But if where you are doesn't quite match where the person next to you, where their life is, you don't have the right to pity yourself. Because your life doesn't appear as rosy as the person next to you, that doesn't give you a license to disregard the provisions that the Lord's given for you through relationships, through circumstances. It just doesn't give us a right to... The Lord's will for someone else's life is never going to be what he has for mine. So God loves you just as much as the sweet lady next to you. But his sovereign plan for your life is going to be different than hers. So don't waste your time and energy comparing yourself, okay? You know, my daughter's married to Lance Schmidt, the pastor's son. And if you know Dana Schmidt, she's the most genuinely sweet lady you'll ever meet in your life. My daughter's married into this great family. You know, I could easily be paralyzed by comparing myself to her, to Dana Schmidt. She's the greatest lady there is, the most genuine lady. And sometimes I'll have to check myself. I can't do that, and this is ultimate transparency here, ladies. But when I do that, when I compare myself to her, I wind up the loser in the situation. You know, really, I'm only hurting myself. I'm really only hurting myself. And the Lord has given me different abilities and a different personality, and that's okay. That is okay. And, you know, don't you think our little grandbabies benefit from both of us? We're different, and that's okay. If I only focus on what she's great at, my kids, my grandkids, they're going to miss the real me, because I'll be focused on being bitter and angry that I'm not like she is, and they're going to miss the traits that God's given me to use to impact their lives. So don't compare yourself. Number three, check your pride. What is it that hasn't turned out the way that you expected? Your career, is your home not the one you would have chosen? What about your church life? Are you serving where you think you should be serving? Let me ask you this. Who are we to dictate to the Lord what our circumstances should be? We're definitely not more knowledgeable. We're not more wise than he is. And I'm pretty sure I do not have the qualifications to supersede his omniscience and his power. So if you're thinking that you should have had a larger home, you should have had that job, you should have been the one promoted, stop and consider for a second. Are you seeing your way, you, the way the Lord is seeing you? Just check your pride. Be careful. And be careful also if you are a perfectionist and you are expecting yourself to perform in a particular way, to keep that house perfectly clean, to whatever it might be. Just be careful of that, because when you fail in and meeting your own expectations, it can cripple you. And then the devil is really having his way with you because you're not able to move forward for the Lord. And then finally, ladies, if you find yourself in life, this is number four, if you find yourself in life so saddened or so upset and disappointed that the expectation where you are or things in the past have left you basically crippled, take a second and just meditate and pray the words of the Bible. Have you ever been so broken, so bitter, so sad, you couldn't even find the words to pray? I will say, when my mom passed away, I did end up like that. And I remember Dana Schmidt said to me, it's okay that you don't know what to pray. First of all, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. But also, she said, we have a giant book of words the Lord's given us. And she actually instructed me to find verses and use those verses as my prayers. And I wanted to give you just a couple, the sweet words of the Bible that you could pray in times. And really, you should go home and you should look in your own life. And you should, what are you disappointed with? What expectations went unmet that have left you disappointed? And find in your Bible verses that you could pray, because those words are, they're going to be even better than what we could think of ourselves. But anyway, a few that I have thought of, Hebrews 10:35-36, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, might receive the promise. If things don't turn out the way that you expect, have confidence. The Bible instructs us, don't cast away your confidence. The Lord can still move. He can do it. It might be differently than you expected, but he can do it. Psalm 37:4-5. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You know, if you are truly abiding and delighting yourself in the Lord, your expectations are going to be different than they were before you were doing that. Because you're putting on the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ compared to our fleshly human mind is going to be different. And that's why we can claim this verse as a promise. If you're delighting yourself in him, your mind changes. Your desires become those that he would have for you. And he then can fulfill them. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. The more we trust in the Lord, the more we depend on Him. He's going to direct us in a way that rights our expectations with realistic things that He can perform in our lives. And that's because we're trusting in Him to do that. And, you know, our pastor says often, there are waiting times and there are working times. And after you've prayed these words, and you can determine whether you're in the midst of waiting or if He's now working, take heart in Isaiah 26:3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Regardless of your expectations, God can give peace. And keep patience, because what we see today isn't what tomorrow's going to be. All right? And let's pray. Dear Jesus, I just thank you for this time to come around your word. Lord, we thank you for godly examples in our Bible, like Mary, just an ordinary lady like us who watched you, her own son die on the cross. She watched that with her own eyes, Lord. And I'm sure as a mom, she never expected that that is what would be the story of her beloved son. But I thank you that that is exactly what happened, and that we have a home in heaven because of it. And I thank you for her sweet spirit that she trusted and knew that you would one day be the Savior of the world. And Lord, I just pray as ladies with hearts in this room, I have no doubt that there's some sadness and bitterness. And Lord, we might not be today where we expected to be. And I just pray right now that you would move in hearts and heal hurts and allow us to be more fervent servants of you, because we do take the time to align our expectations with your will for our lives. And we love you, we praise you, we thank you for this conference. We pray that you just continue to work, and we pray all of this in your name. Amen.